I gave a lot of thought to the subject we're going to be discussing in our lesson this morning. It involves this particular season of the year. Everyone is affected by the events surrounding the day that our society refers to as Christmas. Since we as Christians desire to serve God, questions arise in our minds and the minds of others as to our relationship to this, as our society supposes it to be the birthday of our Lord. The question arises, should Christians observe this particular day as a religious holy day, or we derive from the two words holy day our word holiday? We use that word quite frequently. In many areas, we have many days that we refer to as holidays in our society. And so we use the word quite frequently. The question that we are concerned with is regarding this particular day that's been set aside, December the 25th. And we'll be saying things in our study this morning about Christmas, as the world defines it, that would not be allowed in nearly all denominations in our country, and in many that have the name Church of Christ over their door or on their sign outside. Because there are those who claim to be members of the body of Christ who observe this in the same way, or to a great extent the same way, that many religious denominations observe it. So I want to think a little bit about Christians and what we know as Christmas. And I want to begin by talking about some negative reasons for not celebrating Christmas as Jesus' birthday. And I want to suggest to you, first of all, it's not because we think his birth is unimportant. Last year, about this time of year, I did a lesson dealing with the birth of Christ. And the fact that his birth is indeed important. It is the unfolding of God's plan for mankind that provides us with the blessing that we sang about just a moment ago. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. One of the greatest blessings we have is the blessing of Jesus Christ coming into this world, living and dying. His birth is indeed announced in Matthew chapter 1, as well as in Luke's gospel. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 said, "But while they thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is part of God's unfolding plan for mankind. So we're not opposed to this celebration because we think his birth is unimportant. Neither is it because we don't want to honor or remember Christ. We understand that we indeed wear his name and we wear no other. In Acts 11 chapter there, verse 26, when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and he came to pass that a whole year the assembly itself with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch, the disciples were called Christians. Also in Acts, the fourth chapter, I believe it is, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we are aware that his name is very important, vitally important. His name would be called Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. And we remember him by observing the only memorial that he left. We just completed the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 deals with this as Paul talks about the revelation that was given to him regarding this matter of observing the Lord's Supper. This also authorized because the early disciples observed it, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow. Continued speech at the midnight. The early disciples observed this memorial feast, remembering his death. We understand that there's a great deal that was accomplished by his death. The old law was abolished. We talked some about this old law and new law and new covenant, old covenant in our Bible study period. In Colossians 2 and verse 14, he said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was contrary to us, that was against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So the old law was abolished by his death. Atonement was provided, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so atonement was provided. There was a new law provided in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 through 17. For this cause is the mediator of the new covenant. In verse 7, he says, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, there's no strength at all while the testator are living. The death of Christ ushered in this new covenant. And so we understand the importance of Jesus' birth as it relates to his death. These blessings that we have are the result of his death and not his birth. Although there could not have been a death without his birth. We understand that. But we're not refusing to observe this as a religious holy day because we don't want to honor or remember Christ, because we do honor and we remember him. But we do it in the fashion that he has directed and not in the fashion that the world decides that we ought to remember. So with those thoughts in mind, let's look at some positive reasons why we do not celebrate Christmas as Jesus' birthday. Number one, the Bible does not reveal the day in which our Lord was born. It doesn't give an actual day. Now we can narrow it down somewhat as to the period of time that it took place. It was during the days of Herod the king. And so we can narrow it down a little bit, but the actual day is not given. His birth was indeed prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, there in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and thus a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Not only was his birth prophesied, but the place of his birth was prophesied in Micah chapter 5, there in verse 2. His name's Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Obviously, a reference to Jesus, born in Bethlehem. The manner of his birth in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father. And so the manner of his birth is prophesied, the time, not specifically the day, but the period of time, is identified in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In reference to the Roman kings, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another, to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever in the days of these kings. This is a reference to the Roman kingdom. As you study the book of Daniel, we're going to be talking about Daniel in regard to some of these matters in our Bible study. Daniel talked about the different kingdoms. And the last one, if you remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and the Babylonian and the Macedonian, or rather the Medo-Persian, then the Macedonian or Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire. And it was in the days of these kings. And so we understand that particular time frame when this happened. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, remember there came wise men from the east and drew. Born during the days of Herod the king. Herod was one of the rulers there in Judea who was under Roman rule. And so it was during the time of the rule of the Roman Empire. We understand that his birth was announced by angels to shepherds in the field. And we also understand that they would not have been in the field at this particular time of the year, because it would have been cold at night. Some authorities would suggest to you that it would be somewhere in the 30s, as far as temperature is concerned, during this particular time of the year. And the shepherds had already brought their sheep in, and so they would not have been in the field. But when Jesus was born, the shepherds were in the field. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 through 18. And so we understand that the time that has been set, we'll have more to say about that in just a moment, does not correspond to the account in Scripture as to the time when he was born. There have been dates that have been set at various times during the year. There are some religious groups that observe January the 6th, some others January the 19th, and some even March the 25th. But if you look at some of the records back through the centuries, his birth date has been suggested in almost every month of the year. But nobody knows, because the Scripture doesn't say. The shepherds and the wise men that's depicted in the various scenes throughout this area and throughout much of the United States, if not the world, have the wise men and the shepherds together in a stable. But if you look in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, you'll find that the wise men found Jesus in a house, not in a stable. And the shepherds were no longer there. And so we don't celebrate this day in the manner that many of our friends and neighbors do, because the Scripture does not reveal the events in the way that they are indeed celebrated today. We're not told the day Christ was born, nor are we told how to celebrate. Therefore, it's unauthorized and violates divine principles. We are to speak, Peter said, as oracles of God. Any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. We understand that if it is not in Scripture, it's not a good work. Because Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Anything that we need to know as to what to do in regard to serving the Lord is revealed to us in Scripture. And Scripture does not reveal anything about the day that Jesus was born. When we engage in these kinds of activities that the world engages in, it causes us to not have God. Now you think about that for a moment. In 2 John, there, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. If we go across, if we don't abide in that which has been revealed of the doctrine, the teaching of Jesus Christ, we don't have God. He divided in the doctrine of Christ. He had both the Father and the Son. What is being done in our society today is presumptuous. In Psalm 19, there at verse 13, David said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What is being done in our society today is presumptuousness. People presume to know something that they do not know. They presume to do that which is not revealed in Scripture. It is adding to the Word of God. In Revelation 22, there verse 18 specifically said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. We are specifically forbidden from adding to anything that's been taught in this book. And Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, talks about people preaching another gospel. Though we or an angel from heaven. Now think about that statement just a moment. We, that includes Paul and the other apostles. We, or an angel from heaven. A messenger from heaven. If we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we are preaching to you, let him be accursed. Some translation render that an anathema. Separated from God. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. As children of God, we have to be very careful in that which we observe in a religious sense, lest we be found teaching and observing another gospel. As Paul said, which is not another, but some would pervert the gospel of Christ. Is a perverted gospel. So we don't celebrate this day because it is of human origin, and therefore it is vain worship. Matthew chapter 15 to verse 9, Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In the World Book Encyclopedia, it is said that Bishop Liberius of Rome in 354 A.D. ordered that December 25th be adopted as the birthday of Christ. 354 years have come and gone. Our dating system, A.D., stands for a Latin word which means in the day of our Lord. The B.C. talks about the time before the birth of Christ. Before Christ. And so our dating system divides time in relation to the birth of Christ. And so 354 years after the event took place, the day of his birth was set by a Roman bishop. The Britannica Encyclopedia says Liberius gave this reason for having Christmas. He said, we have a mass, and the word mass is a Catholic term that's used to describe the main Eucharist or liturgical service. I have a hard time saying that word. But it has to do with a service that has a religious basis. And he said, we have a mass, that's a service, for every saint, but there is no mass for Christ. That resulted in the term Christ Mass, or Christmas, as we know it today. And so this day was set as a religious observance by the Roman Catholics in about 354 A.D. In this season of the year, you hear people say, let's put Christ back in Christmas. Well, I'm here to tell you, he was never there. You can't put him back in something where he never was. Yes, we observe a memorial service, remembering Christ, but not a service remembering his birth, but a service remembering his death. Well then, if we think about these, now I want us to give a little bit of thought to the non-religious aspect of this day. How are we going to view it as Christians? We understand that Christmas is both religious and secular in nature. It doesn't take a very smart person to realize that it is secular. When you see all the merchandising that takes place around this season of the year, people trying to get you to buy this and buy that and buy the other, because it's Christmas, as they say. And so it is secular in nature. The same thing is true with some other holidays. Halloween has its basis in religion. The religion of what we would refer to as Christianity or Christendom. But in paganism, where it has its origins. Also, Valentine's Day is called Saint Valentine's Day. It has its origin in religion as well. And when you call the names of the days of the week, you'll find out that they once had a religious significance. Sunday, that's the first day of the week, the day in which we worship. But at one time, it was a day set aside apparently for sun worship. Moon day would be Monday. Then there's Thor's day, Thursday, in reference to the god Thor. And there's Saturn's day, or Saturday. And then when you talk about the months of the year, many of them have their origin in religion of some sort. Now, we as Christians, I believe, can do secular things on Christmas Day as well as some of these other days that we talked about. Most, if not all, have a day off. And this, we understand, is a good time to visit with friends, family. All our family is not going to have the day off because they took off last year, and now some of their co-workers won't off this year, so they got to work. But most folks have this day off. It's a national holiday. We enjoy time with children. I am of the conviction that one can even put up a tree and decorate it. Now, there's some who are convinced that you shouldn't do that because the tree has some religious significance as well. My dad wasn't fond of putting up a tree. He didn't object to it that strenuously, but he would rather have not done so for all these reasons. But we did it in a secular way. We can exchange gifts. But we do this from a secular standpoint, not from a religious standpoint. So we do this if we attach no religious significance to these things. We're doing them strictly in a secular way, with no religious things tied to them at all. There's a principle that's established over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 14, we'll not take the time to go over there and read all of this. But Paul is dealing with the idea of meats that were sacrificed unto idols. And some of them had a conscience of eating these meats that were sacrificed to idols. They didn't think they ought to do that. And as a result, they didn't do that. It offended their conscience when they did this. But Paul makes it clear that meat is just meat. It doesn't make any difference if it's been sacrificed to idols or not. If you can eat it, without it offending your conscience. You eat it as just being meat, not as meat being sacrificed unto idols. We understand then in Paul's dissertation about these matters, he said, if eating meat causes my brother to offend, I'll eat no more meat as long as I live. So we need to be careful about offending a brother or sister in Christ with the things that we do. If we do them from a secular standpoint, it doesn't bother our conscience to do that because we're not attaching any religious significance to it at all. Then I believe we're at liberty to do that. But if my liberty causes someone else to stumble, then I need to quit doing whatever it is. So we must be careful not to attach religious significance to the things that we do. Do we understand that these things are not religious until they are made so by the participant? That's true of any particular day. If you all want to talk about Thanksgiving Day, it's a holiday that is somewhat peculiar to this country. When it began as a celebration and was declared as a holiday, we observe Thanksgiving. Obviously, we need to be thankful every day, not just on one particular day. As we noted, we observe sometime Valentine's Day. We'll send cards to special people on this particular day. And on Easter, we dye Easter eggs, and we hide them, and their kids hunt them, and things of that nature, with no religious significance to them at all. But many do attach a religious significance to these days. Many churches have what they call Easter sunrise services, and they observe it as a religious day with religious significance. But it can be done without such. We need to be careful not to be a part of a religious service that observes these particular days, not just Christmas, but others as well. Be very careful. Many religious services have candlelight services. They have religious plays and all kinds of things. I knew this is a number of years ago. It has proliferated among those who call themselves Church of Christ today, but this was 20, 30 years ago, maybe more, I don't know now, when a church that called themselves the Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama, had a Christmas tree put up in the basement. And it has progressed where there are many others who are using these kinds of symbols. And whether they are observing this as a religious holiday, having some sort of religious service, I don't know. But I do know that many are using these symbols in some way inside their buildings. And that within itself is indicative of the fact that they are attaching some sort of religious significance to these days. We need to be very careful that we don't leave the wrong impression with our neighbors and friends that we believe this to be the birthday of Christ, that has some special significance in our lives. It does have some significance, but not a religious significance. It's significant because it's highlighted on your calendar as a holiday. You can't hardly look at a calendar without noticing that December the 25th is highlighted. And so there's a special significance attached to it. But as Christians, we don't have to attach some religious significance to it. If a person has a desire to send some cards, then send those that are of non-religious nature. If you want to sing some songs, there are some songs that pertain to this season of the year that are not religious in nature. If you want to put up decorations, then certainly you can do that without putting up decorations that have some sort of religious significance. It is my judgment that we as children of God need to be very cautious about going all out for decorations. inside as well as outside of our house, because we can leave a false impression with our neighbors and friends. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that this would be sinful for you to do, but something that we all need to be concerned about as to the impression that we're leaving with our neighbors and friends. A number of years ago, when I talk about these, it's more years now than I like to remember, but a preacher who was preaching in Mount Hope, Tennessee at the time, had come to the conclusion that he and his family should not observe Christmas in any form, in any way. So they picked another day, and they bought presents for their children on another day. And one time, his father-in-law, who was not a Christian, asked him, he said, on what day are you going to pretend to celebrate Christmas this year? What we need to understand is the people look at what we do and why we do it. So the point I'm making is that we need to be very careful lest we leave a wrong impression. I'm convicted. If I wasn't, I wouldn't do it, but I'm convinced that one can exchange gifts and put up some decorations and all that sort of thing, and it not be in any way a religious observance, not observing the birthday of Christ in any way. But each person has to come to that conclusion on their own as to what they can do and what they can't do. Just like the early Christians had to come to a decision as to whether they could eat meat or not that had been sacrificed to idols. Presents that you buy at the Walmart or wherever are just things. They're just stuff. Now, yes, some of them have a religious significance. They're promoted along those lines. And so as a Christian, I wouldn't buy those kinds of things. The other things that you can buy almost any day of the year that don't have religious significance. We can buy for family and friends and not be observing this as a religious holiday. We need to be teaching our neighbors and our friends the truth on this subject as well as all other biblical topics as we have opportunity. Now, these are just some thoughts for you to consider. Some based on that which is revealed in Scripture that we need to consider in regard to these matters. As we think about ourselves and our relationship to this particular day of the year. Again, I believe we can do non-religious things on Christmas. Yet even in the non-religious things, we need to be alert to wrong impressions. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. And word circumspectly means looking all around at every angle of everything. Not as fools, but as wise. As children of God, we have to be careful about the things that we do. And if we practice things that are involved in this particular season of the year, if we practice them in commemorating the birth of Christ, we're doing that without biblical authority. As a result, we become separated from God. So it's a serious matter. Understand that it's wrong to do even non-religious things to commemorate the birthday of Christ, because they're not authorized. So give some thought to these things and consider the things that we do in light of what the Scripture says, and make sure that our lives are conforming to what the Scripture says. And each person in many instances has to decide for themselves as to whether they will or will not engage in various activities, whether you're talking about this season of the year or other seasons of the year. There are many things that we have to decide if I can, in good conscience, engage in these various practices. It may be that there are those in our audience this morning that are not a part of the Lord's church. You've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. If you find yourself in that condition, we want to do our best to help you to complete your obedience to the Lord. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, then you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Be a part of His family, the church. Then engage in those things that are authorized, and you can be pleasing in His sight and have hope of heaven. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you realize that you engage in things that are unauthorized. You need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. We can help you in any way to render your obedience to the Lord. We want to do so. If you need to respond, why not do so? Together we stand and sing for you, Kirk.